Wake Up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. All right, was it the epic classic that I was really hoping for, that I thought it was going to be? It was not. Was it a demonstration or was it an example of what LSU had done all season? Yes. Is it the exclamation point on one of the greatest seasons a college football team has ever had and a quarterback has ever had? Yes. In that respect, is this game going to be memorable down the road? Yes, but only by the winner. When we talk about epic championship games, whether it is Super Bowls, whether it's national championships, whether it was games before we decided one versus two together, but yet one game ended up crowning a national champion, we usually can take something out of the winner and something out of the loser. There's a moment where the loser just lost it just a touch, and a game that went down to the wire that was heavily battled and fought for in the end, you know, is something that we remember. It doesn't have that element to it because Clemson never put up a fight in the second half of the game. They only got 8 points. They couldn't score in the fourth quarter. They just let LSU run away from the game. But if you're looking at the context of college football and looking at what college football likes to do, which is have epic moments and epic players and generational talents and generational teams, this is on that list. This is an undefeated football team with one of the greatest quarterback performances we've seen all season. Sure, we've seen plenty of quarterbacks go undefeated and win the national championship. That list is kind of, it's got some good names on it. Matt Leinart, Cam Newton is on that list, right? But what Joe Burrow has done and who he has done it against really needs to be put in the spotlight. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about this game in particular. Some of the things that went right for LSU and what did go wrong for Clemson. This game started off with punting and defensive battles. And I thought to myself, oh, this isn't really what I thought I wanted. But then it really did start to evolve into, okay, these offenses are now figuring this out and showing up. It's just one showed up a lot more and the other one started to fall apart a bit. We'll break it down. We've got a lot of stuff to get to from that game and also Major League Baseball's decision on the Astros. Good morning, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you can be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so as I said at the top of the hour, wasn't the epic quarterback battle I thought I was going to get. It wasn't back and forth all the way down into the fourth quarter, who has the ball last kind of game. But it did, as I was watching it, remind me that I may be seeing something historic anyway, that I may be seeing one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever have a season. Not a career, but a season. It might have been the best quarterback season of all time. It might be one of the best teams of all time. This was a great performance by Joe Burrow again. 5 touchdown passes against that defense. And he also ran for 1 too, so he counted for 6. You know, college football statistics are somewhat, you got to take a little bit out of them. You got to kind of dive deep into it. It's one thing to say, you know, Clemson had the best pass defense in the country. Okay, but who they played does matter when you're talking statistics. You want to look at players, you want to look at matchups, you want to look at individual contributions to that overall statistic, right? How good is that defense personnel-wise? How good is that defense scheme-wise? Who did they play, etc.? So it's not to diminish Clemson's, you know, Clemson's claim as the top pass defense in college football, but as much as you could say LSU has not played a pass defense like Clemson, you could also say Clemson has not played a passing team like LSU. In fact, go down the list of everybody who's played LSU and make that claim. When it's all done now, right, now that it's done, and we look at LSU and Joe Burrow, this is a remarkable transformation. I made the comment a couple of weeks ago that Joe Burrow reminds me of that old blues guitarist, Robert Johnson. You know, couldn't play, goes to the crossroads, can play, and not only can play, he's one of the best. Makes a deal with the devil at the crossroads. This is what it feels like with Joe Burrow. Because, Ron, when we were sitting at the draft in Nashville, looking ahead to 2020, some people may have thrown Joe Burrow's name as a good-armed candidate, good-armed quarterback, but now he's overwhelmingly the number one pick.
And he was nowhere near...
Nowhere near that conversation.
Nowhere near first-round consideration.
Right, right. And had a late part of his junior year where he was really starting to show something. But this has come as an incredible shock to a lot of people who follow the sport in terms of his journey to this. Now, you can point to, you know, the LSU coaching staff and Ed Orgeron, belief in himself, etc., coming from a football family, all of those things. But let's be honest, when have we seen a quarterback go from, yeah, I don't even know who the LSU quarterback is, to number one overall pick by a mile, national champion, 15-0, almost a perfect season, 70-plus percentage on the completions, 60 touchdown passes. I mean, the amount of teams he has steamrolled through are some of the best teams in college football. I mean, he made Georgia look silly. He made Oklahoma look silly. He made Clemson look silly in anything they devised to stop him. And he went in this game to, like, LSU is punting, Burrow can't get throws off, you know, Clemson's bringing the pressure, they're disguising reads, and all of a sudden, LSU figures it out, and he throws 5 touchdowns and runs for another. Like, that's how quick LSU went from, hey, we got problems here, this is one of the best defenses we've ever faced, to, oh, don't worry, Joe will get a lot of what he normally does, which is fling the ball around all over the place for 463 yards, 5 touchdowns, and running for a score. He counted for 6 touchdowns against a Clemson defense that doesn't give up 6 touchdowns, period. And it's incredible to me. It's incredible what we are watching. So again, the game wasn't epic, but the performance was. Because it just was the icing on a sundae that has been built up since, I don't know, probably the Texas game when the national media started going, hey, maybe LSU really, really does have something in this guy. Now, people claim we all talked about him at the end of the Fiesta Bowl a year ago. I don't remember a lot of that. I remember, hey, he played well, but I don't remember this level. I don't remember thinking LSU had a Heisman Trophy candidate. He was 200-1 odds to win it when the season started. And 15 games later, he has changed the entire dynamic of his career. Entire dynamic with one season. Sometimes it is good to go back. Sometimes it is good to play college football despite the injury risk. Because now he's going to be the number one pick by Cincinnati, one of the most watched players going into 2020 in the NFL season among rookies. And people are already making predictions on how well he could play at the NFL based on the way he throws, his timing, his toughness, I mean, all of those things. And it all stemmed from this last season. So, by the way, I've been following some people on Twitter who covered the game last night who had to get up early for early flights, and the party is continuing in New Orleans. There's no classes today in Baton Rouge. It's going to be no students. Everybody's having a good time in New Orleans.
They did
this morning.
Say, I mean, classes were canceled yesterday and today.
Okay, so they did cancel the classes.
Yeah, good because I also remember, I think it was Kirk Herbstreit said it. It's like, they should just cancel classes for the rest of the week.
Sure, why not?
They should.
Amount of frustration that is going to be released by the LSU fans. You know, especially 4-year students there and whatnot who just watched year in and year out of being told they had a good team, right? A great team. And then they would lose to Alabama and nothing would come out of it. And now they've got the national championship. Now they've done it. They've reached the mountaintop. They play in the toughest division in college football. They went through that. Now they have to go through this college football playoff system. They've gone through that, and they went 15-0, and they've got the best quarterback in the country, and they won the title. All of that frustration. They watched LSU just win games in the trenches, baby. Run the ball and win games in the trenches to having the most aerial attack that the best season a quarterback has throwing the football ever.
And one more thing to add to that is doing it with a homegrown coach.
And a homegrown coach, right. Amazing. That was a nice graphic last night when they showed his travels.
Yeah.
Where he was born, where he went to college, where, you know, then he went, and then he went to coach the Saints, and then he went to Louisiana Tech. They kind of showed him staying in Louisiana. He's absolutely the right guy for that job.
Perfect.
Too perfect. It was perfect. That's the term used a lot. Perfect quarterback, perfect season, perfect coach. It was all capped. Oh, we got to get to Clemson, though. This does not really, this doesn't take away a lot of what Dabo has done there. He still is building national championship contending teams. I mean, after all, they went 14-1, and they actually had a 17-7 lead in this game. Trevor Lawrence did not have a good game. He was completed less than 50% of his passes. He didn't have a touchdown throw, although you can make the comment that the one he had in the second half that was called off in the fourth quarter.
He totally pushed off, Tony.
Yeah, totally. I didn't think it was. I thought it was a little ticky-tack, but
that was weak.
That was a little weak. But he missed on a lot of throws. He threw a lot of balls into the ground. He threw balls over guys' heads. He just did not have a rhythm. He did not look all that comfortable at times. And we were talking about this before the show. There were moments where LSU was bringing pressure and he would be in trouble and then he would get out of the trouble. And then he would have like that 1 second or just a touch more that you have to plant your feet and get a throw off. And he would throw it over a guy's head and he would throw it in the ground. And LSU had some good coverage, but Trevor Lawrence missed a lot of throws too. So this was not a good. Now this doesn't mean anything. I think he comes back next year just as strong and all of that. But I think when this is processed by Clemson fans, and look, losses hurt, championship losses hurt. You never want to admit a team is better, but I think for a lot of people who root for Clemson, if you really stepped back and saw what LSU had put together, I think in the couple of weeks, you'll realize we just lost to a better team. They were just better. That doesn't mean Clemson stunk or it didn't mean Clemson was terrible or anything like that. LSU was better. They were better than everybody they played. And that's really the way to process it. Sometimes you just lose to a team that has just got more than you do. And I think LSU has had more than anybody.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody. It's nothing wrong with that.
And let's face it, Clemson's almost averaging being there every year.
Yeah, all the time. And they'll be there again. I mean, they'll be there again with this with that quarterback. They'll be there again.
They've been in the game 4 out of the last 5 years. In the playoff history, they've been there 4 times out of 6 years.
Yeah, it's remarkable. A lot of it's playing in the ACC. I'll give them that. Yep. But still, when you get there, you got to produce, and they've produced. They've been in 4 national championship games. Now they're 2-2 in title games, which is really great. That's really great. To be in 4 national championship games and be 2-2, and he's done it with 2 different quarterbacks.
Yeah, Dabo's done a good job. I just realized I'm looking at the list here of all the playoff games.
Yeah,
Clemson can't win in a dome.
Ah, they can't win in a dome. No. Okay,
because they've been there 4 times. The 2 times they've lost were in the Superdome, and then they also lost in Phoenix.
They also, yeah, that's right. They lost in Glendale.
The 2 games they've won was in Tampa and Levi Stadium in Santa Clara.
That's right, outdoor stadium.
So they can't win in domes.
Maybe so. So we'll get more into this game. We'll talk about as Clemson and LSU kind of close out the college football season. But we also have to get into Major League Baseball and what went down with the Astros. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I think O'Reilly Auto Parts, for all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Somebody please explain to me why the sports gods are kicking Houston in the face right now.
Oh, it's been a bad 24 hours here.
It is really, really bad. I mean, to go from, hey, we're up 24-0 in the AFC divisional game on the road, we're going to be hosting the AFC championship game, to losing 51-31, to now the news Monday that Major League Baseball completed its investigation on the sign-stealing scandal that plagued the Astros, where everybody said it was nothing. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people said, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's ridiculous. Baseball went, no, it's not ridiculous. In fact, it's something. In fact, you know, Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch, you're both suspended for a year. And then Jim Crane comes in and goes, yeah, and you're both fired too. That's the Astros have now, are they tainted in this World Series? Are we going to be talking about? I mean, it's got to be a feeling of everything that Astros team had meant, winning that World Series in that city at that time, to now having the baseball world wondering if there should be an asterisk next to it or challenging it and saying, oh, maybe the Dodgers should be crowned champions. That has got to be a double kick into the Houston sports world to see the Texans collapse like this and now to have the integrity of the World Series championship, especially what it meant to that city at the time, to be tainted by this. Look, Major League Baseball had to do something about this. There was too many reports on electronic sign stealing. And electronic sign stealing you can't have. You can't put cameras in places. You can't have video monitors. You can't send signals because of those video monitors. You just can't. And baseball had to do an investigation on it. I've always said the integrity of your sport is one of the... When people say that there are bigger crimes, like when people use that excuse, like, I don't understand this big deal. But, you know, there are players committing domestic violence and there are players doing all, you know... Okay, yeah, but those are laws in the country, right? Baseball can react to laws. Like, if you have a player and he is accused of domestic violence, you can take action on that. But in the end, you can say, that's a law, you've broken the land, and you're suspended or you're out until the law deals with you. But when it comes to governing your own sport, the only thing you govern in your own sport is the rules within the sport. The society deals with all the violent crime that your players may be committing, but you govern the rules within your sport. That's why this is a big deal. Because in the end, the sports entities, baseball, football, it doesn't matter. They're interested in protecting the integrity of the game. Because what is it that they do? Like Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, what is it that they do? They sell you a product. That's what they do. They're a commercial business that sells you a product. What do they sell? They sell an entertainment product. Okay, what is that? The game. The game is the entertainment product. And that game has to be as pure as it possibly can be. That's why anybody caught throwing a game is suspended forever. Right? That's why you check your officials. That's why you check your tapes for officiating errors. That's why you look into any suspicion of cheating. Because you as an entity, as a business entity, have to take care of the product that you're selling. All of those other things, drug use, domestic violence, are serious. But they're not within the realm of monitoring and governing your own game or your own product. You deal with that like you would, like any company would deal with any employee that was dealing with the law. Okay? But as far as controlling your product, that's what baseball is trying to do here. Now, I think Ron and I, you and I have talked about this a couple of times. It's funny because over the weekend, I watched this really kind of interesting documentary on this professional blackjack player who had gotten an RV and he's well known to be an advantage player. And he goes around the country to these casinos he basically went around the country in an RV for a year playing blackjack for a living. And he documented his highs and lows. And he took $10,000 from this casino and he won $50,000 at this place before being kicked out. Then he lost 70 grand and it was this up and downs. But in the documentary, they talked about what it takes to be a card counter using his head. And, you know, like you or anybody else spends 8-9 hours a day on their job, working on their career, that's what they do every day. They spend hours and hours and hours every single day practicing counting cards and doing the math in their head. That's not illegal in a casino. They can kick you out because a casino is a private club. They can kick you out. If they feel like you're monitoring, waging your bets like way off, like you're betting $500 and then all of a sudden you go down to 10, like they'll watch that. And they're like, okay, he's an advantage player. And they can ask you to leave. They'll tell you to leave. But they can't arrest you. It's not a crime where there's a judge and you get thrown in jail for using your brain.
I actually had a personal experience with that once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
I was betting so erratically. Of course, I was a little, inebriated,
right,
as you will. But, I was betting. I was staying, like, on 6 and hitting on 17. I was doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And it got to a point where the pit boss just came over and was just kind of staring, standing over the dealer's shoulders watching.
Yes, and making sure.
Trying to figure out what my strategy was until he realized this kid has no strategy.
Right.
He's just getting lucky.
Yep. And that's what professional blackjack players do, because they're just all they're doing when they're counting cards is just getting a little edge. That's it. They still will lose. They still can lose but the edge goes to them. So in the long haul, they're expected to be on top. So you could get kicked out, but you can't be prosecuted for using your brain.
Nope.
You can't. That's not a, you need a lawyer, you're going to jail, it's a 5-year. But if you used electronic devices, it is illegal. You can be prosecuted for that in certain states. You can be prosecuted for that. So that's the similar in Major League Baseball. If you're smart using your head and can figure out signs in whatever capacity you can, okay, that's all fair. That's all fair in love and war. That's why the catcher disguises him when there's a runner on second, because he's thinking that the runner on second is trying to signal the batter in some capacity because he's trying to figure out the signs.
Well, that's why, you think back like to when you and I played, even when you and I watched, the catchers usually just threw down like one set of fingers. That's it.
That's right.
Now I mean, you could sit there and if I stared at those fingers, I would never be able to crack that code because he's sitting there throwing gang signs left and right.
Right.
And they
exactly.
have no idea what they do. But I mean, pitcher does.
So if you watch tape on your opponent and you follow and you're watching the catcher's signals, and you think you can figure it out if you're on second using your head, that's all fair. But if you use a video camera to call those signals and then monitor them with an electronic device and then signal the batter in some capacity, that's going to get you in trouble. That's using electronic surveillance, if you will, or electronic-based system. That's a problem. And Major League Baseball has an integrity issue. But now this does something to the Astros. Their general manager, who is one of the brightest baseball minds in the game, is now gone.
Yep.
Right? Now A.J. Hinch, one of the brighter managers in the game, he's gone. Right? Jim Crane said, that's enough. No, I've got a clean house. So no, I'm not keeping suspended guys and then finding two people to replace them and then bringing those guys back. They're both gone. That's it. And now the question comes out, how long are these guys going to be out? And not from the suspension, that's a year. But how long from a public mindset would a team be okay jumping on A.J. Hinch immediately when his suspension is done?
I mean, you'd have to think they would, right?
I would think so.
That they would be, like, as soon as a year from now, heading into spring training, that there's going to be a team that's going to throw something at him.
That's my bet. Like when I hear people say, "Oh, he's done for good." No, he's not done for good. No.
Hey, you know what? Major League Baseball managers, same as NFL coaches.
Right. They're not done for good.
Once you're in, you're in.
And Jeff Luhnow, he's very much going to get a job.
Oh, quickly.
Very much. As soon as the suspension's over, very much going to get a job.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was brought on, say, like by the NFL or NBA as a consultant.
Maybe so.
During this time. Because, I mean, what he did with the Astros was brilliant. I mean, he really brought the team or built the team from the farm system up.
And he made great deals picking up Justin Verlander, picking up Zach Greinke. I mean, he's made fantastic deals, built that farm system up, right? But at the same time, you understand why Jim Crane had to do this. He can't have those guys.
Yeah.
This is big time. This is where there was always going to be people going, Deflategate, Spygate, I don't know, maybe the team. This was different. This was an entire investigation where they said, wow, they really did do this. They really had a system. It was all electronic. It really helped them win games. It helped them win the World Series. It helped them in the 2018 season, too. They really did do this. And if you're Jim Crane, you got to clean this house. You've got to get a clean slate. You can't have these two kind of apples spoiling the bunch. And that's what happened to Houston. More on this, and again, the national championship game coming up. Also, the AFC and NFC championship games coming up on Sunday, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey guys, get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, Bet Online, with the NBA season in full swing, and also got the last couple of weeks of the NFL season. Sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and you can start betting college and professional sports. Every spread, every total, every winner or loser. Hey, you can straight bet, parlay, tease your way through the season. You can even bet on wild prop bets, like who's going to win the NBA MVP. Get the fastest to market odd updates and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, Bet Online. Head over to the website today, use your mobile device, and use the promo code SBNation55. That's SBNation55. Receive your 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so back to the Astros situation. So they've manager gone, general manager gone. Now, if you're Alex Cora, are you sleeping well at night these days?
Nope.
I don't think you are.
I think if you're Alex Cora, you're picking out a vacation destination with the missus.
Yeah, right. Honey?
I mean, right now, it's at this point, it's like, you know what? We've always talked about going away for a month or two. Where do you want to go?
You've always wanted me to step away for a few years. The grind of the season and all. Well, I think we're going to be doing just that. The common thread between the Red Sox investigation and the Astros investigation was Alex Cora. And they may have been in trouble too. It seems to me Alex Cora in Boston used an even more elaborate system than what the Astros were using, banging on cans and whatnot. Like, he really went all out, put a certain video TV in a certain spot, had the camera in center field, all of those things. What made people think this was a good idea? Eventually you're going to get caught, right? Eventually, this is what I always talk about with conspiracy theories. It's so difficult because with conspiracy theories, to keep everyone in line so no one talks, right? Especially conspiracy theories that involve the government, where it involves like thousands of people. Everyone's got to keep their mouth shut. If you're playing for the Red Sox and you got a feeling like, yeah, we're stealing signs electronically, it's kind of against the rules. There's two ways you could think about it. All right, fine. We're stealing signs against the rules. Big whoop. Or, I don't know about this one. I don't know if we should. You got to make sure everybody's on the same page, benefiting from the winning, benefiting from all that, so they'll keep quiet. But all it takes is one little bit of a suspicion, and all the whole thing falls apart. Now, what would be the proper punishment for Alex Cora if he is indeed sitting down with Major League Baseball, and he has done this with two organizations, helping two organizations win the World Series? By the way, congratulations to your LA Dodgers, back-to-back World Series champions.
That's right.
Well, get the T-shirts made up.
You want to know who reminded me of that very quickly?
Who?
My family.
Good point. Call it out, man.
A couple of phone calls yesterday.
Very nice.
Hey, what's going on with your Astros? I'm like, what are you talking about, my Astros? Literally right now, as you and I are talking, wearing a Brooklyn Dodgers hat. My fandom has never waned.
Good for you.
But I am indifferent about it. You know, when I was talking to my father about it, he was talking about, like, yeah, they should put an asterisk. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, is this Babe Ruth?
Asterisk?
Roger,
I mean,
Mary?
I don't know if we're going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to grab all of the Dodgers, and we're going to take them out to a Denny's, and we're going to award them the trophy quietly, like they do in the Little League World Series when they find out some Taiwanese pitcher is 27.
There you go.
And they go, oh, shoot, the United States actually won. That's what we're going to do. Right? That's what they do. They did that for a long time. They would find out some kid on the international team, or the American team for that matter, was ineligible. And then they slowly go over to the team that lost and go, hey, you guys are actually champs. We don't want to make a huge deal of this, but here, have some moons over Miami and a trophy. And they go, great, thank you.
We're going to upgrade your medal.
That's right. We're going to upgrade your medal. We're not going to have this big ceremony because we hate scandal, but that's what we're going to do. So you're going to get all the Dodgers in a room. You're going to quietly go, here's, we went back to those third world countries. We got the t-shirts back over here.
And
here you are.
Now, when you go to Wikipedia, it'll have it right.
It'll have it right. So when you Google yourself, it'll say World Series champion in 2017 and 2018.
Yep.
But please don't make a big deal of this. Please don't tell your friends. Just quietly go about your business. You are champs. The Red Sox and the Astros both won World Series with this of cheating over their head. Thanks, Alex Cora.
I mean, Alex Cora, definitely, a year. That's without a doubt. But, I mean, it's got to be – I mean, is it indefinite?
Oh, you know what? I was just thinking that, right? Okay, if you're going to tell me Pete Rose can never be a part of baseball again for gambling, and that's a crime, that's a sin in the baseball world, right? Betting on your own team, betting on in general, because of the integrity of the game. Do not go down the road and tell me Alex Cora is getting a year or 2 years. Don't tell me that. You got to come up with a serious suspension here. We're talking about tainting two World Series teams. This wasn't tainting the, Kansas City Royals rebuilding project where they won 65 games instead of 58. Okay, this was two teams that were talented enough to be in the postseason but ended up winning World Series. And how much did this help them in that process? We will never know. But I know the Astros report. Major League Baseball found evidence that they benefited during playoff games against the Yankees and in the World Series against the Dodgers. Okay, now, and to what degree does that taint that World Series? That's up to each individual person.
And can we say this real quick? How good is he to do it back-to-back?
Yeah, completely.
I mean, that's a system.
That is a system.
God.
That is knowing what you're doing. That's deliberate. That is seeing the fruits of your labor play out and going, we'll just do that again here. And so to me, I think Major League Baseball has to throw down the hammer. I don't know, lifetime. That seems to be a little harsh, but.
Yeah, but I mean, like you just said, I mean, Pete Rose has got a lifetime ban for gambling.
They never forgave him. They never forgave Rose for that. There's a whole generation that was not affected by anything Pete Rose did or ever done, right. And they still won't touch him with a 10-foot pole, a 30-foot pole, a 100-foot pole.
If you're Alex Cora, do you just come out and get ahead of this?
What would you do? Just say, I did this and I apologize?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, maybe, admitting guilt right away, does that lessen the punishment?
Maybe.
All I know is, I mean, by this time next week, we probably have two really, really good teams looking for managers.
Yep. Very true. Very true.
And you know what? The other problem I have with Major League Baseball's punishment, suspend coach and general manager, fine. Take away the draft picks, okay. What does $5 million prove?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. That the franchise value just went up exponentially during the last couple of years.
I mean, $5 million, that's like, I guess, you and I getting fined $5.
Yeah, and the same thing with the draft picks. I mean, the draft picks are low. I mean, they're important, don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't know. I'm not as into the baseball draft as the other two sports.
But doesn't baseball have like 87 rounds or something like that?
Yeah, 100 rounds, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like it keeps going. It's like a three-day thing. It's like it lasts forever, right? It's like the NFL, but
it's
many,
like a
many,
Jerry
many
Lewis
more.
Telethon.
Yes.
It just goes 24 hours a day. Phone calls are being made in.
That, you know how I know this is that living in Nashville in the Southeast, that something, it'll be like Tuesday, day five or whatever it is, we find some local high school player got picked. And he may be going in the 32nd round or whatever it is, but he got picked. That's how you know it lasts forever. But the real, the real crime is the public relations damage, right, that this has done. That winning a world championship and then having that season tainted and then having to lose your manager and your general manager, two very, very bright men, two very important men into the process of you turning into a powerhouse baseball team from where people were like when Sports Illustrated said Astros would win the 2017 World Series when they did it a few years ago, they had a young George Springer on the cover. They did that because of what Jeff Luhnow was doing there, what he was building there.
But
there
that's
was
a why lot of they cheated that they in were, the first place. They had to make that prediction come true.
Right, that's right. They had to make that prediction
so
come true.
So if we're going to blame anyone, blame, it was Ben Ryder, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Blame him.
Blame him. He set the table. He put the table out there.
He said they're going to be World Series champions, and Astros was like, well, we got to figure out a way to do it.
It's not good. It's not coming last place. We got too much pressure on us now.
Now, I will say this, though. Like, the mood in Houston as far as, you know, the Astros are concerned. Houston, I mean, it's almost like they're indifferent by it. It's like, okay, you know, surprising that Hinch and Luno got fired, but they're, you know, when you talk about the 2017 World Series, they just gravitate to how much it meant to the city during that time.
That's important.
And you
because
can't take that. You can't take the feelings of washing away all the despair that Houston was going through in the wake of Harvey. All those negative feelings, all those, you know, the citywide depression that was going on was absolved when the Astros won the World Series.
And that's important because look at what the Patriots did when they were going through Deflategate and Spygate. They rallied with the team. They didn't turn on the team. They didn't turn on Brady. They didn't turn on Belichick. They said, no, okay, fine. If you're going to do this, if it's us against the world, then it's us against the world. We're fine. And I think that's the right way to view it if you're an Astros fan.
Yeah, created an obnoxious fan.
Sure.
But
at the same time, right.
They're loyal.
They were coming, like especially Deflategate. To me, look, I'm not a Patriots fan, even though I grew up in that area, I should say. I'm not a Patriots fan, but I saw the silliness of that. I didn't see the seriousness of that. I didn't think it was a big deal. I think people made it serious because of the Patriots. They made it serious because of what happened with Spygate. I never once thought that that Deflategate was a monumental scandal. I thought it was silly on the NFL's part. I thought it was silly for the national media to pay so much attention to it. I thought it was kind of nonsense.
Yeah, but my feeling
was on this was, okay, fine, but at the end of the day, go win the championship and shove it in their face. This is different. You're right. This is different. This is electronic stealing. This has been investigated. This is real. This actually happened. There's a rule here. It was broken. It did give Houston an advantage. It did help them win games. It helped them possibly win important games, especially in that game, that 7-game series against the Yankees, which was very close, very, very close in 2017. And it probably helped them win against the Dodgers, which that series was very, very close. But at the same time, you're right. If I'm an Astros fan, I don't look at that World Series as tainted. I don't look at that World Series as needing an asterisk. I don't care. I don't care about anything. What I got out of that night and that team and that month of October is extremely important to me. And I'll never give that away. I'll never give that away. Now, baseball can do whatever it wants. A baseball world can do whatever it wants. But baseball doesn't do this. I mean, sports usually don't do this. In fact, college is really the only one that says, you never saw this championship ever happen. You know, using the Men in Black memory erasers, right? Reggie Bush in USC, right? The conference championships and the Final Four appearances for the Fab Five. Anybody else that gets caught in some sort of scandal where they take down banners and they erase the history books. We don't do that in professional sports. We say these are tainted. We say we may have a problem with them. We say, okay, whatever. And let history say what it says, right? The White Sox blew that World Series. There's no asterisks on that. In 1918, when they blew it against Cincinnati, Cincinnati won it fair and square. So what if there's a scandal of a team actually throwing a World Series? Then that's it. That's just the way baseball and other sports work. If there's a controversy, there's a controversy. But they don't take away titles. But in this case, baseball public might look at those two World Series differently, saying, all right, well, the Astros and the Red Sox, they cheated in their way to titles. But that goes away over time. That diminishes over time. So I don't think Major League Baseball is going to do anything on that front. But it's Alex Cora. Enjoy your next few days of employment in baseball because the days are numbered. It's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So last night, you know what? Ron, I feel like as we're getting older, we can complain about this more and more. When we were younger, we probably didn't think about it at all. But now that we're getting older, especially with this show.
I don't even know what you're talking about, but I just want to complain.
I think you'll agree with me. College football, your games are too long.
Holy cow.
Too long.
Come on, man.
Too long. Come on. It's 60 minutes of football. That took 4 hours to play that game last night.
I looked at the clock. It was 10:30.
Oh, God.
Central time. 10:30 Central time. And I'm watching this game going, man, they're still passing the ball. Why aren't they trying to run the clock out? Game's
just
almost
go
over.
Go home.
Look, there's like 4 minutes left in the game. Why aren't you guys just doing it? I looked out. Still the third quarter.
Oh, God, it takes forever to get these things in the books.
My God.
I think it started a little after 7, right? A little about 7:20 or so? Oh, God.
I mean, I get over, you know, there's
4 hours later.
You know, a little bit more fanfare in the beginning. If that's the case, you know, because the Super Bowl's longer.
Super Bowl's longer, is right. There's a longer halftime and all that.
College football, start your game earlier.
Oh, boy.
If you know you're going to go 4 hours, start it at 6.
Can you imagine just, you know, trying to be like, again, we, you know, both of us live in the central time zone, so it wasn't all that horrible. We get up at the crack of dawn, but.
Tony. No sugarcoat it. It was bad.
It's 12:20, 12:25.
Yeah, I'm just
saying. The game was wrapping up on the East Coast.
Yes.
Dude. Old man, get off my lawn complaining. College football, short. Maybe go to 7 minute quarters and running clock.
How about this? Just started an hour earlier.
That's all we're asking. Just started a little earlier. If you want to do that pomp and circumstance, that's fine. Just do it earlier and start the game at a decent time that you know. If you're going to do 4 hours, do 4 hours. But for the love of Pete, start it earlier.